Hear the words of Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold made by the hands of men. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but they cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but they cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord make you increase, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Father, we pray and we worship you today. By singing songs and by reading psalms, knowing, Lord, that you are the recipient of our praise and our lives and our hearts. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being the one that we lift up, the one that we exalt, the one that we worship. And thank you, Lord, that we know who you are. That you have revealed yourself to us through your son, Jesus. That you have sent him to this world 2,000 years ago so that we might know what it means to live our lives to glorify you. Thank you that we have an example of love, of compassion, but we also know of the sacrifice that your son made. Lord, thank you for his death, burial, and resurrection, and the defeat of sin and death. While we think about that, Lord, we also recognize that you are with us and present with us through your Spirit. That when we have a relationship with you, you walk with us, you talk with us, you are by our side and with us all the time. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. And God, that should give us great courage. That should give us great hope. That should show us that you not only like us, but you love us and that you want to be with us. And so God, thank you for that. Thank you for your words that are throughout Scripture that reveal to us your great desire and your love over us. God, this morning as we worship, help our hearts to be abandoned to the things of this world and focus intently on you. Not just when we sing, but when we hear your word, when we are taught in Children's Church today, when we spend time listening to the sermon and the message that you will speak to our hearts today. God, will you help us to learn something? To grow in our relationship with you. Lord, in this next week, will you continue in your faithful ways and walk with us? God, we're thankful for the ways that you are evident in our lives. If we were to look back in the last week, the last month, the last year, we would be able to see your thumbprints everywhere on our lives because you are a faithful God. And you will be faithful in the days to come. You'll be faithful in the places that we work, in the places that we go to school, and in so many different areas of our lives, God, you will be faithful because that is who you are. And let us not forget that. So God, thank you. We worship you, and we ask that your hand of mercy go before us. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus, where every knee will bow one day. And we all said, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to be with you all this morning. Glad to be in worship with you. Oh, my goodness. It's always good to be in worship, isn't it? That was really soft and really delayed. That's all right. We'll make up for it. Well, welcome. We're glad that you're here today. Couple of things that I just want to remind you about. They're really simple. They're things such as we have a QR code if you want to utilize that, or you can find one of these that are kind of around the church building. You can use it to scan and to do a couple of things. Let us know that you're here. Number two, that if you have something that you want to be prayed over this week, you can utilize this and ask for prayer. And that's always a great thing. We also have presence on the variety of socials. One of the ways that we most use socials is through Facebook. And so if you're not on our Facebook group or Facebook page, please check that out and like, follow, and subscribe. And we also, just so you're aware of, we also have a YouTube weekly presence, because our sermons and our live stream goes out to YouTube, and it's all there as well. So you can always go back and see my smiling face and others. And there you go. And just enjoy that. But just so that you're aware of what is going on. Also, just want to remind you that there is a prayer group that meets together on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 a.m. And you are more than happy to be a part of that. And you all you have to do is, let's go to the next slide. And right there is the meeting ID with the password. Take a snapshot of that and join us for prayer at 7 a.m. Lasts about a half an hour, but it's praying for the church and the ministry of the church. And we would love for you to join us. And if you if I move too fast and you don't get a picture of that, let me know if you want to join us. We'd be glad to pass that information on to you. Last thing is just a reminder about tithing, and you can send in your tithes. Thank you so much for your tithes and offerings. You continue to be a blessing to us as a ministry, and God is, I believe that God is honoring the way in which we have served and the way that you have given, and we continue to be blessed by that, and so thank you for doing so. You can turn the tithes and offerings in the box, or you can do it online. Everything is accessible online. The last announcement that I have for you before, I got two. If you are interested in helping out with signups for grab-and-go meals on Wednesday nights during Hope Kids and Youth Group, you can sign up on the table near the back of the sanctuary, and you can do that and take care of that today. Thank you so much for those that have continued to help and will continue to do so. You are so, so grateful. So thankful for your willingness to volunteer and help out with that. Also, this Friday night is a game night from 6:30 to 8:30. If you are interested, come to the church and bring a snack or bring some games. Actually, games are important, so don't forget those, because if you don't bring games, then you're going to be stuck playing my games, and that's like Lord of the Rings Risk that takes 7 hours. And not everybody enjoys that. I do, but you might not. Or it's Lord of the Rings Monopoly or Star Wars Monopoly or who knows what else I got in there. But I've got some good ones, though. I digress. So bring your games, have some fun, play, and we'll just enjoy each other's fellowship, and we'll eat some food and just do that from 6:30 to 8:30. All right, kids, we are dismissing you for Children's Church today. So kids ages 4 to 5th grade are dismissed to meet their leader in the back and go over for Children's Church today. If you brought your Bible today, open it up to Psalm 118. Anybody know anything cool about Psalm 118? I'll tell you, it is the middle chapter of the Bible. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible, and 118 is right in the middle. And if you wanted to figure out what is the center verse of the Bible, verse 8 in 118. How cool is that? I don't know how they figured that out, but somebody had some extra time on their hands and figured that out. Psalms is a phenomenal book of the Bible, and I am I'm always thankful that when I am at a place in my life where I maybe am going through a spiritual dry spell, or maybe I'm in between devotionals or something like that, I can always go to the Psalms and I can always feel encouraged. I can always feel challenged, and I can always experience God's goodness while reading the Psalms. And Psalm 118 is not unlike that, where I've just been so encouraged by this particular psalm. I've actually fallen more and more in love with this psalm as I've been studying it over the last week or so. And it is truly fantastic. And we're going to dig into this psalm today, but I want to start with this. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it says that God takes great delight in us. And the verse says this: "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save." Didn't we just sing? Okay. "And he will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Have you ever thought about God singing over you? God singing over you, takes delight in you so much that he will sing and rejoice over you with singing. I read this verse years ago in a Max Lucado book, and it stirred my soul back in like 1998, and it continues to stir my soul every time I cross this this verse, because it revealed to me that that God just doesn't love me, but he delights in me. The God that created the universe doesn't just love you, but he takes delight in you, and he sings over you, and he rejoices over you. If anything gives us a little bit of encouragement today, that might be part of it. And I hope that it is for you, because this is the God of the universe singing over you. Take that in for just a moment. In fact, maybe that's your meditating word for this week. Remember we talked about last week about muttering? Maybe you'll want to, meditating is muttering, and so you're going to mutter, "God delights in me. He sings over me." Oh, he does. Next question. Have you ever thought about Jesus singing? Never crossed my mind. God, yes. Jesus as a human, never thought about him singing. And guess what? Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel, they say it about the exact same way in Matthew 26 and in Mark 14. It says, "When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." I've read that hundreds of times, but just skipped right over the fact that Jesus and the disciples sung a hymn and moved right out to the Mount of Olives. Have you ever thought about Jesus singing? Yeah, me neither. Me neither. But I got a little bit more enamored with this. And really, to be quite honest, singing, Jesus singing, shouldn't surprise us at all. Because singing is a part of culture, isn't it? Think about it. In our culture, we have songs and music and things like that. We sing, even if we're not very good at it, we sing because we enjoy music. And even if we can't carry a tune, we can still just enjoy music and singing in the shower, because that's the place where we sound the best. But the idea is that music and song has always been a part of culture, and it was a part of culture in ancient civilizations as well, because there are songs and music all throughout history. And when you think about it, we have a 150 chapter book in the Bible that is all song. So Jesus and the disciples knew some of these songs, some of these hymns, and they sung it as a part of celebrations. So if you can just put your imagination brain on for a little bit, the celebration of Passover, when they celebrated it, they had things that they did throughout the ritual of the Passover. At regular places throughout the meal, there were times where they would sing from the Psalms, specifically Psalms 113 to 118. I read to you Psalm 115 just a little bit ago, and can you feel the refrain and the melodiousness in my voice when I read it? No? That's fine. It was there. You just missed it. But they would specifically sing these at portions of the meal. These Psalms 113 to 118 are specifically called the Hallel. Can you say that? Hallel. H-A-L-L-E-L. And these psalms were regularly sung during the Passover. The Jewish Talmud, which is a collection of rabbinical teachings, and specifically about Jewish life and customs, were shortly kind of compiled after the first century. They stated that during the Passover meal, there were four cups of wine that would be drank, and the singing of the Hallel would begin after the second cup. Psalm 113 would be first, and then they would accompany Psalm 114, and then the Psalms 115, 16, 17, and 18 would be sung after the fourth cup. And Psalm 118 is pretty much recognized by scholars throughout the world that Jesus and the disciples would have sung this Psalm 118 before they departed to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was betrayed and his crucifixion would have been only a few hours away. So Psalm 118 is not just cool because it's the center chapter of the Bible, but it's even more than that, that this is a psalm that Jesus and the disciples sang before he went to the cross. And this psalm has a lot of depth in it. So you can see the psalm behind the screen, not behind the screen, but behind me, on the screen, and here's what it says. Let your mind just soak all this in. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust and princes. All the nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surround me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks. I will give you thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, for the house of the Lord will bless you. The Lord is God, and he made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We could just call it good right there, right? Because that passage is so rich, so good. And I hope that you heard some things in the passage that just kind of stirred your mind for a little bit, stirred your memory and your knowledge of Scripture, because there are things in this passage of Scripture that should draw us back to other places in Scripture, because they are quotes from this passage that are in other parts of the New Testament, especially. We're going to talk about those specifically, but I hope that you are gaining a heart and a desire for God's word so much, because it is so powerful and it's evident in God's word that we have a God that just doesn't do things by happenstance, but that he is a perfect, powerful, loving God that wants us to know him. And I hope you're seeing that based on his word today. Oh my goodness. I'm worn out already. If we wanted to outline this passage of Scripture, this whole psalm, we could start with that verses 1 through 4 could be summed up as a call to be thankful. In particular, thankful for God's goodness and love. Pretty simple, right? When we look at verses 1 through 4 that you can see in your Bible, there is a refrain of give thanks to the Lord. It's the call, give thanks. Everybody give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. It's seen in his the goodness of God is most clearly seen in his steadfast love. The reason we know God is because we know him to be loving. If we recognize the goodness of God, we are pointed to the love of God. And the result is that there is greater thanksgiving. The greater the good, the greater the love, and the greater the thanksgiving. Rightly so. And we could easily focus in on the goodness and the love of God. Yet, I don't know about you, but I am drawn to the word endures. Because in verse, his love endures forever. This is the refrain that goes in all four verses. His love endures forever. So what does it mean to endure? To endure means to remain at the current state. To remain firm, to not yield. So when we look at this passage, what we're saying, what we're talking about is not just the longevity of God's love, but the enduring nature of it, that if we were to put it on a plane, it would just continue. It would just be, and I look at that and I'm like, okay, all right. I like that, because our love that we express to things or to people goes up and down like this, doesn't it? You know that I'm a big fan of the Denver Broncos, obviously. Orange and blue. But my love for the Broncos goes up and down, depending on the time of the year that it is. Okay, but depending on how they do. Today, I may not love them at all. Tomorrow. Depends on what happens. But the idea is that God's not that way. God, in all of his majesty, in all of his grace, in all of his glory, in all of who he is, loves and endures forever. His love endures forever. No matter what it is that you and I do, he loves. And I don't think we get that, because we know what it means to love. We know what it means to love unconditionally. But one thing may affect the love that we have for someone else. God's love doesn't dip. God's love doesn't fall off the table. God's love, when we messed up, doesn't stop. It doesn't slow down. It doesn't fall off the table. It doesn't do any of that. It continues all the time, and it has for all time, and it will continue for all time. It endures, and that's a really important aspect of God's love for you. His love endures. Verses 5 through 18 can be summed up as thankful in suffering. Verses 5 through 7 talk about the struggles of suffering. The Lord answers the psalmist's call for help and assistance, and God's faithfulness again is unmatched. It continues. God continues to show up again and again and again in the psalmist's life. Now, when I say psalmists, I'm referring to the fact that we're not scholars. I shouldn't say we. I'm not in that category, but the psalmists, or the theologians and the scholars, they assume that it is David that has written this psalm. Just because we attribute all the Psalms to David doesn't mean that David necessarily wrote this one, but it's highly possible that he did. So I'm utilizing that terminology, okay, just so that you're aware. But the psalmist is recognizing that he's in trouble, so he calls out to God for help, and God continues to show up. And it's evident that in verse 6 it says, "The Lord is with me." The Lord is with me, verse 7, 6 and 7. And then it says it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. And that's what verses 8 and 9 are summed up as, is that the Lord is our refuge, a place of safety, a place of protection, a place of care from God, knowing who God is and knowing what he can provide for us is an important aspect of our lives. And so when we know that he's a refuge, that means that we can always turn to God, go to him, because he is faithful, and he is more faithful than any person on the face of the earth, just like the psalmist says in verses 8 and 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. No one else is as faithful as God, whether they're just a normal man, normal person, or they're a prince. God is more faithful. And then verses 10 through 13 talk about hostility from every direction. It says that the nations were surrounding the psalmist. yet the Lord led him to victory. David is recognizing that he's hard pressed on every side. He feels the pressure. He feels the uncertainty. And in the midst of it all, he knows whose victory is right around the corner. He knows the power of God. He knows the authority of God. The victory, the battle, all of it belongs to the Lord. And he recognizes that he has zero power in all of this, and all of it is God's empowering. The psalmist has nothing, but God has it all. And the enemies are defeated in the name of the Lord. I heard this week that when the psalmist writes, where is it at? But in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. That's a soft way of putting it. What is really being said there is that in the name of the Lord, I destroyed them all, obliterated them. And he's talking about the enemies against him. And he knows that it's not his power. For someone right now, I think that we need to have the reminder very evident in our lives that we don't have the power to do anything, but God does. You don't have the power to fight the battles that you are fighting, whatever they might be. Whatever struggle is upon you, confronting you, pressing in on you, on every side of you, you don't have the power to fight it. But the enduring love of God does. The enduring love of God has the power to fight that battle in your life, whatever it might be. You can't do it on your own. In fact, you will fail. But trust in the Lord. To trust in God is better than trusting in man. Trusting in God is better than trusting in princes. Trusting in God is better. He is our refuge. Find yourself in that spot. But David also knows about the discipline of God. This is the part that we don't like. Verses 17 through 18, it talks about a chastening. I had to look that word up because I didn't know what it meant. Chastening means correction or punish. It can also mean to prune or to restrain. And in light of David's life, if you have studied his life before, you know that he had some things in his life that he wasn't proud of, and some things in his life that he needed to have some correction from, specifically in his actions towards Uriah and Bathsheba. Praise the Lord that Nathan was there to remind David what needed to happen. But catch what it says. Verse 17, I will not die, but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, meaning that he has disciplined me. He has told me what I did wrong. He has corrected me. He has worked with me. He has done his job as a righteous heavenly father to correct. But he's not given me over to death. I need you to hear this today because this is most important, that God's enduring love does not abandon you. When you make a mistake, when you fail, when we fall flat on our face, when I mess up, we don't have a God that abandons us and kicks us aside, but he chastens us and he loves us, he corrects us, and he brings us back to the refuge that he wants us to experience. He doesn't abandon us to death. And I'm not just talking about dying. I'm talking about eternal death. He doesn't abandon us. He is a faithful God that loves us completely. So don't get to that common misconception in the world that says, if you sin, you mess up, and therefore you can't go to heaven. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about eternal punishment. We're not talking about us abandoning God. We're talking about a God that knows that we sin and mess up, but he loves us just the same. And I believe that there's a message in here for us today that reminds us that when we mess up, he is our refuge and we return to him and seek forgiveness. Amen. And he is faithful. He is faithful in that. And we need to remember that today. Verses 19 and 20 could be summed up as a thankfulness for future salvation. Salvation is mentioned a couple of times in this passage, and what we have here in the grand picture is a progression from recognizing the goodness and love of God and recognizing that in life there is suffering and pain and difficulty, yet in all of it, suffering comes to an end because we have a Savior. Kind of wraps it up, doesn't it? Not completely. There's some more really important aspects in this passage that we can't skip. In light, this is how I want to talk about it. And I don't do this very often, but I want you to think about this psalm in light of Jesus and his disciples singing this psalm the night that he was betrayed. So the disciples are in the upper room. They've gone through the Passover supper. They've eaten the bitter herbs. They've had the unleavened bread. They are eating the lamb, the sacrifice lamb. They're drinking the cups of wine, and they're going through the entire process. And it's a beautiful, beautiful process. And then the final Hallel is sung. And can you remember Jesus's life? That in Jesus's anguish as he's on the cross, he calls out to the Father. Like in verse 5 that says, in my anguish, I cried to the Lord. Jesus, in his life, called to the Lord, and it was God who was with him until the moment that all of the sin of the world was placed upon him. And then he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He called out to God in his anguish. Doesn't this psalm sound like a messianic picture going on? And it was Jesus that had all the nations surrounding him, beating him, pulling out his beard, whipping him, hitting him, placing the crown of thorns on his head, just like what we read in this psalm, that all the nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. And it was Jesus who had both Roman and Jew surrounding him, beating him, and overwhelming him. And it was the right hand of God that sustained him in the garden when he was in pain and anguish and sweating drops of blood. And he is overwhelmed by the pain and the anguish and what is going on. And it is this Jesus that sang this psalm in the presence of his disciples along with them. And he says the words of the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. And Jesus is talking about himself when he is reading and singing this psalm. Do you think the disciples got it? Not yet. Peter wrote these exact same words in his letter. And it was Jesus who came into the gates of Jerusalem riding on a donkey, right into the center of their religious world, by people called out, "Blessed is he who came in the name of the Lord," which is verse 26. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you." And what were they waving when they were in the streets? Palm branches. And what does it say in verse 27? It says, "The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar." Bows is another word for branches or palms that the people of Israel are waving in the presence of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. This psalm is so much deeper than just a song that is being sung, but it is actually Jesus's a future perspective, a future look at what Jesus was going to endure for you and for me. And we think this is boring sometimes. And we think that these psalms don't have anything to say to us, but they do. They have so much richness within them. And sometimes we forget the bigness of God's word. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever." Don't miss this. In the very first four verses, it says, "Let Israel say, his love endures forever." That is Israel, the people of God. "Let the house of Aaron say," that is the priests. The priests of the day. And then it says, "Let those who fear the Lord say," that is everyone else that fears the Lord, you and me included. And we say, "His love endures forever." Say it with me. "His love endures forever." So how do we wrap this up today? In the place where you're at, in the situation that you're in, and your spiritual journey, and your life that you live, and in everything that you have going on, whether there's pain or suffering, whether there's hurt or anguish, whether there is difficulty or there is great joy, whatever the situation is, always come back to the very first four verses. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever." Never forget that you are walking in relationship with Jesus, and he draws you into the sanctuary to worship him first and foremost. First and foremost. And we recognize that it is he who is the capstone, that he is the one that God set aside, set apart, who is holy for all time to be our Lord and Savior. That is our Savior, Jesus. And it is he that was rejected, but is the one that was lifted up, the one that we worship. And we need to remember that he has authority. He has power. We do not. He does. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever." Father, as we look at this psalm and we realize that in the midst of it all, this isn't just a feel-good song, but it is prophetic, it is messianic, and it is bigger than what we realize. But in the midst of it, God, we also know that it was planned from the very beginning that your son Jesus would go to the cross and die for our sins. It's evident. In the first pages of Genesis, we see that it was said that he would crush the head of Satan. And we know that he defeated sin and death. And we know that your love endures forever. It endures in the midst of our failures, in the midst of our struggles and our difficulties. And it is constant. And Lord, I pray that we would have a love for you that would mimic and mirror that. That we would love you with an enduring love forever. And that we can look forward to the days when we are in the throne room of heaven and hear the angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Father, speak to our hearts today. Somehow show us where we're at and how we can look at you and see how big you are and how small our struggles are. And Lord, as you defeated all the enemies, Lord, will you do that in our lives? Lift us up, Lord. Bring us up out of the pit. And we'll sing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Thank you for your enduring love. We love you, and in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for being with us today, worshiping with us. Don't forget that this Friday is game night. We look forward to hopefully having you there. If not, we look forward to seeing you next Sunday and worshiping together. Let's close our time together by singing and worshiping. Let's sing together.